You're listening to Community Radio, KBOO Portland.
There's something curious about this broadcast.
On behalf of the entire KBOO community, we'd like to offer our sincerest thanks for your contribution to KBOO's end-of-year membership drive. We challenged KBOO supporters to help us meet three donation matches and raise $45,000. And you stepped up. Your generous support, combined with hundreds of other community radio donors, helped to raise $85,000 for KBOO. We knew you could do it, and together we did.
There's something missing and I'm lit and I got something to say.
Good evening. You're listening to Trans Positive here on KBOO Community Radio. My name is Emma and I use she and her pronouns. Tonight we are very honored to have Suzanne DeWitt Hall and Declan DeWitt Hall with us. Welcome to Trans Positive.
Thank you so much for having us. We're grateful to talk with you.
Great. Thank you. So Suzanne, you wrote a book about trans issues and spirituality. But before we get into that, I'm sorry, I want to get through the formalities first. Suzanne and Declan, can you both introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Sure. Well, I am a writer. I'm the author of the Where True Love Is devotional series. It's an affirming, inclusive series of devotionals. And my most recent book is called Reaching for Hope. And that is not a devotional. It's in a similar format in that the content is in small chunks, so it's easy to digest. But the subtitle is Strategies and Support for the Partners of Transgender People. So it's not part of the Where True Love Is series because it's not a devotional, but it falls under the same kind of the movement of trying, of the Where True Love Is movement, which tries to kind of bring hope and healing to people who've been excluded, LGBTQ folks who've been excluded and marginalized by society, by the church, etc. And Declan is kind of the powerhouse behind the Where True Love Is movement online. You want to say a few things about you?
I run that for us online. We have over 85,000 followers on Facebook, and we reach over 1 million usually in a week. So, you know, we reach a lot of people. I consider myself an advocate, activist for the LGBTQIA community. In my former life, I was a book publicist, a social media strategist. I guess I kind of still am, because I share Suzanne's work with the world because I think it's really important. I am a transgender man. I just came out about a year ago. Suzanne writing this book is really important to me. This is the seventh one of the books she's written for people in the LGBTQI community. And we've just seen the effects of the power of words and love all over the world. So we get up every day and we have a little post-it note that says for the one. So every day we get up, and if we reach one person, we did what we were supposed to do that day. So there's too much hurting out there. So that's what we do.
Well, mazel tov, and congratulations on your transition.
Thank you.
Well, great. So that's a great introduction. We first met. I first met you on a Facebook group online, where I learned about your writings, and I know that you both do a lot of outreach to the trans and non-binary community. So I'm not sure exactly where to start, but you've told me, Declan, a little bit about your transition, I'm definitely going to ask you a little bit about your coming out story, if you would be willing to later, and also share more about your Facebook group. But I'm going to start first with Suzanne. If you can tell me, Suzanne, first of all, just about the book that you're promoting right now, if you can share a little bit about the book, what it's about, and how it relates to the trans community.
Absolutely. Well, we've been working with the LGBTQIA plus community for about 10 years, roughly, sort of in ministry, because, you know, starting with the books and then through this online community that Declan has really nurtured, you know, created, nurtured, and grown throughout that time. And as Declan has moved forward with being public about his transition and working through some of, you know, the challenges of that, and I started monitoring more of the support pages for partners and family members, I was seeing this deep need for the loved ones, particularly the partners, to have a resource that's for them, because we were blessed. I mean, we've both blossomed together and discovered who we are and have kind of grown into more the fullness of our being together. And we've had this exposure to the queer community and to the issues and challenges faced by trans people for a long time. And I wrote a devotional called Transfigured a few years ago because we were seeing the pain and the marginalization of trans people, in particular in the Christian community. And I wanted to address that and kind of look from more of a biblical perspective about what that really means and how God, through the Bible, seems to embrace trans and non-binary people. And so increasingly, we have been enmeshed in the trans community, which kind of gave, and Declan can speak to this when he tells his story more, but kind of gave you permission, I think, honey, to explore that more in your own reality. So as I was participating more in these support communities for trans people, I was seeing the pain of spouses, the confusion, the challenges that they face, and wanting there to be more understanding for their trans partner, because that's always been our ministry. Our mission is to help queer people be fully themselves, happy, content, you know, understanding that they are whole and fine and loved and beloved by God, all those things. And so, I wanted these partners who were so confused and so conflicted and so challenged to have a resource that helps, that meets them where they are, but helps walk them along the affirmation path if they're able to do that, right? I mean, some people are not able to do it and they need to kind of face that, because I think sometimes it does more harm to their trans partner if they stay in that in-between space, right? If they're really not going to be able to do it, then for both of their sakes, they're going to need to move on. But, you know, my goal was to give them a tool for exploring that and for understanding trans identity and to know what they're going to potentially encounter, and to offer them some strategies and support for moving through to the next phase, you know, through the kind of the early phase into hopefully improving their relationship and improving the health of their relationship overall. So that was kind of the goal. That's my goal and my heart for this book, is to help partners be able to kind of move forward through what can be a challenging phase of a relationship. Oops.
Thanks. And what again is the name of your book?
It's called Reaching for Hope. And the subtitle is Strategies and Support for the Partners of Transgender People.
And if people are looking for your book, where can they find it?
They can go to the Where True Love Is website, wheretruelovis.com. They can go to Amazon, independent bookstore, you know, talk to independent bookstores and ask for it. You can order it there. Pretty much everywhere books are sold, it's findable.
Okay, we're going to come back to your book in just a minute, but I want to make sure that we're dividing up our time equally between both of you. So Declan, if you're comfortable, I'd like to ask you right now if you'd be willing to share your coming out story.
Sure. I'd love to do that. It's been a long time coming. I'm in my late 50s, and I've known my whole life that things weren't quite right, that my inside didn't match my outside, but I didn't know what to call it. You know, at my age, we didn't talk about it a lot, you know, in my teens or my 20s. When Suzanne put out Transfigured, we've been together for 14 years, and my faith has always been important to me, and I was always playing this role of this Christian woman, and I was married to a man before Suzanne, so I was a Proverbs 31 woman, and my relationship with God was really important to me, and when we got together, she was more Catholic-leaning, and I was more evangelical or Baptist-leaning, so they said, what do you say when those two get together, you become Episcopalian, so... So we got married in an Episcopal church. And when she wrote, you know, it started with Where True Love Is, and we saw a lot of pain because we didn't understand when we got together, how can we be these very religious Christian women who were married to men and now be in this relationship that is absolutely fantastic. It made no sense to us. So we prayed and studied and talked. And out of all of that and her writing before Where True Love Is, the first book came out. But when she wrote Transfigured, I read it, and you know, often she doesn't let me read them until they're done usually. And then I read them, and with Transfigured, it told me that not only was it okay with her, that I could bring what was inside me and who I really what I am out, it was okay with God, which made it feel like it was okay with me. So I started thinking about it and talking to her about it more, and it just over the last just about year now, started, you know, telling people this is who I am. I am not, now I'll use my dead name because it doesn't bother me. I'm not Diane, I am Declan, you know, and this is who I am, and I'm a man, and I just happen to be in a female body. So I started being able to say that to the world because of her writing and her love. And when this even when Reaching for Hope came out, I didn't read it. I was scared of that one. I thought, oh my gosh, the one thing I hated about coming out was hurting people. You know, even though it's like, wait a minute, I've been hurting my whole life. I've been shoving down who I am my whole life. But to hurt one person and the act of being me really bothered me. So, you know, this book is for the partners, and a lot of them are in a lot of pain because they don't understand. But when I read it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is what we need. We need to be able to talk about why you feel this way, you know, what I can do, what I can't do, you know, where, how far can I take this conversation? There's nothing to start conversations. You know, we have them all the time, and I'm wondering, why isn't everybody talking about these things? Because, you know, we're all humans. We need to talk about how we're feeling. So, you know, my coming out of the last year, it's been tough in some ways. Most of my kids are okay with it. The young people, I think, are going to save us. Our grandchildren are fantastic. They call me Nanpa, now. and they came up with that name after talk. We talked to each one of them individually, where they are at their age, and they were just amazing. And it made me think there's hope. There's really hope in the world because the young people get it. My mom doesn't get it. She doesn't want to talk about it. She just kind of talks to me. She doesn't call me by my name or my other name. She just doesn't talk about it very much. My sisters don't talk to me. I got a feeling that it has a lot to do with that. But, you know, I'm almost 60 years old. I can't be working to make them happy. I've got to be me. And I have a spouse that frees me to be me. You know, we're in a community that's not so great for that. But inside my house, I am fully Declan. And that's important. I wish everybody had that.
Suzanne, if we could come back to you, it sounds like your book came like right on time for your partner.
Yeah. So it did seem to come on time, and that's, you know, we've seen so much of God in our relationship together and kind of miraculous unfolding of things. And in the books that I've written, it's always been in response to the pain that we're seeing. So I wrote Where True Love Is, and we started connecting into the queer Christian community and seeing the pain there. And then increasingly we saw the particular problems in the trans community and the just the horrors that trans people have to go through. And so, you know, I wrote Transfigured because we were seeing that pain, but yes, it spoke. I had no idea at that point that Declan was trans. And in looking back now, I see a lot of pointers, as, you know, people I'm sure often do, that now I'm not surprised, but I had no idea at the time that I was writing it in part for him. And so, you know, what an amazing gift that is in looking back to find that out, that, you know, I had no clue, and yet here we are.
So this can be a question for either of you, Suzanne or Declan. So what are, like in your book and also in your relationship, if you'd like to talk about it, what are some of the issues that are unique to trans couples in transition? I mean, where one partner is trans and the other one maybe isn't.
Yeah, what are unique? You know, one of the things that I notice is that I have realized is that good relationships can probably survive and bad relationships probably can't, because communication is the biggest thing, I think, that you have to have compassion on both sides. I'm always going to be more of a champion for the trans person than the partner, because that's where my heart is. And you know, the trans people, the struggles of their lives are so significant and so difficult. And so I'm, you know, my empathy and my sympathy tends to go towards the trans person more. However, you know, that there does need to be empathy and compassion on both sides. And do you have any comments?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Our communication really has seemed to be key. We have a unique relationship. I mean, we've been through so many things over the last 14 years. I mean, I am transgender man. I'm allosexual. Suzanne's queer and she's asexual. And we have a fantastic relationship. But a lot of that has to do with communication, the way we talk things through. I mean, as a transgender person, every day is a struggle for me now. Like, I tell her some days I wish I never came out, but then I've had to. I just had to. But there are days I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's so hard. I have to look at everybody when I go to the grocery store. What are they going to? And I can say to her, did you see the way that person looked at me? And she says, yeah, come on, let's leave. I mean, she's got my back. And to have somebody that has your back is a really good thing. You got to find your tribe. And I think with Suzanne, she's my person. She helps me be more me. And I hopefully help her blossom into all of who she is. And I think a lot of that is through her writing. So she puts it in words, and I shine light on her words because her words speak truth and love into the world. And as a transgender person, when I see so much pain in my community, and I can go to her and say, all I want to do is be called Declan, she will call me Declan probably 100 times before we go to bed. I mean, you know, there's just this support system that's really important. I mean, like for my birthday, here's something very, you know, here comes your birthday, you're going to turn 59 years old. And you're thinking, I don't really need anything, I'm 59. It was the best birthday I've had in my whole life. Mm-hmm. I mean, she gave me men's bath soap. I mean, you know, these are the things that I wanted my whole life, shaving cream, you know, things mm-hmm. that said I was her man, you know, and those little things mean a lot in relationships. So I think we're unique in the way that I hope other people are too, is that we do these little things for each other. I think that mean a lot. And being a transgender person, I think over the year, and I think it's a continual journey that I will continually be moving into being more of myself, you know, having the support from her while I go through these emotional states. Like sometimes I feel like I'm in puberty and I'm an adolescent, and I'm like, but at almost 60, I'm like, I shouldn't be like that. And she'll say, that's okay to be like that. That's normal for you. So I think, you know, people who are in a relationship and their partner is transgender, they have to have an understanding of what that means and be patient. And she very much is. And I think it goes back and forth.
Yeah, it's not easy. I think for a lot of people, we're so blessed because we started out as friends. You know, we were really, really good friends, and then our relationship shifted. So we had that basis where, you know, some people, if it starts out as romance, I think the communication and everything can be a little bit different. And yeah, so I think we're really, really lucky because communication has always been a key element of our relationship. Makes it a lot easier.
Oh, just a sidebar. Declan, can you remind me what allosexual is? Because I forget that one.
Well, I am a sexual person. I have a higher sex drive. So I don't know if you would call it normal sex drive. What would you call it?
I don't know what normal is anymore, but yeah.
She's asexual. I'm sexual.
So it'd be like being a cis person versus being a trans person. You're like a straight person versus a gay person. You're an allosexual person versus a
I see. So allosexual is in relationship to asexual. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I was thinking, I haven't heard that one. You don't hear that one
You don't hear
much,
that one
actually.
That much. Mm-hmm. No, we started talking more about our sex drives and sexuality. She wrote a book, Sex with God. And mm-hmm. then she started talking about being asexual. And there's everything in that one. So we got a lot of trouble for the title of that book, but it's a good one. There's a support group out there based on that book where they talk about purity culture and the damage that's caused to people. And it's caused a lot of damage to the LGBTQIA community. So the Christians, and so that helps people too. And we just kind of let them do their thing over in their group.
Yeah, that's a whole issue. We've done, I think we've had two, it's about time for us to do another show, but we've had a couple of shows in the last two or three years just with like folks who identify as ace, you know, mm-hmm. and then like different kinds of asexual. And it's like, it's a whole thing that people just don't, I think a lot of people don't really understand what it is. So mm-hmm.
You're right. It's a whole spectrum on its own. So there's mm-hmm. lots to talk about.
So with regard to partners of transgender people kind of moving out into a broader space of your book, maybe not quite so personal, your book is really focused on the partners of transgender people, which is a group that doesn't really get acknowledged that much. I mean, in a lot of ways, I think within the trans community, partners sometimes they're kind of almost made invisible, you know, because transition is such a big issue. And within the trans community, almost everything's focused on the person who's transitioning. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I know that the role of a partner or a support person in transition is just fundamental. So, mm-hmm. but you know a lot about it. So you've had a lot of experience, but for people who don't know what's coming their way, what are some of, like, for people who haven't had this conversation and they just begin to learn that their partner's transitioning, like what are some of the first things that go through their mind? What are the first conversations that happen?
It's so funny that you said sometimes that they're almost invisible, because I've got an entry here in the section called Your Emotions Are Valid. And the title of that day's kind of contemplation is Feeling Invisible. So, So you know, that was absolutely resonating with me. But some of the initial things, the first, I've got a little terrier here snorting at my hands. The first section in this book is called Starting Points. And, you know, there's, I think that one of the reasons that I've formatted this book in a similar way to a devotional is because it can feel like there's this tsunami of information coming your way, right? Like, so some partners are from the queer community and they understand a lot, you know, a relative lot about gender identity. And some people know absolutely nothing, right? And they're hit with this news that is stunning and shocking. And those kind of realities are very, very different from each other, but still can be challenging either way. So I think, you know, from my perspective, I tried to think about protecting, minimizing damage, because sometimes the early days, the things that people say can leave scars unintentionally. And so I started out trying to talk about that transition should be when it's possible with a good relationship, that it's a team event, that you guys are gonna, you know, work through these things together. That you need to find out some things that not to say, right? There's a whole bunch of things that are best not said. And partners don't know what those things even are. They have questions and they don't want to hurt their partner, but you can say a lot of things that can cause a lot of pain without even meaning to. The idea that you need to just believe them and not try to talk them out of it, and to understand that they're not being selfish by just wanting to be authentic. Respecting names and pronouns is super important. And I think that some people think that it should just be casual. Why is it a big deal? Why should it be, I've always called you this, and you know, these have been my endearments for you, and why is it so important that I shift? That turning around is hard once you've started proceeding down, being open with who you are, that turning around again is not an insignificant thing, you know. So there's just, like I said, there's this, it's almost a tsunami of information that they have to process, and these questions and issues and worries, you know. A lot of the concerns that partners have are very valid about what's going to happen to your lives, just like with trans people. Trans people struggle with and sometimes won't move forward because there's just so darn much to worry about. And, you know, and that's all valid. It's just, how do you work through that in a way that is the least damaging to your partner and to you?
What are some of the things that partners of trans people worry about for themselves?
Oh gosh, the loss of their concept of family often, you know, like they may have had a particular view of either, you know, traditional kind of mom and dad and 2.5 children, or let's say they've always they were a lesbian and their spouse is transitioning to to be authentically live their identity as male, and this person, this lesbian, is like, I don't know if I can be attracted to a guy, you know, I don't know how to do that, and what does this mean for our sex life, and what does this mean for your career, are you going to get fired, and you know, and what does this mean for our childbearing, are we going to be able to have kids, are we not going to be able to have kids, what does this mean financially, and what could it do to your health if you have procedures, you know, there's lots and lots and lots of questions that can make people nervous, and all those questions just have to be addressed and dealt with. again, you know, I think all the, I think that emotion is valid. It's really just about how you end up dealing with that emotion, and the way that you deal with it can create, can cause harm or can promote healing and growth within your relationship. The fact that you're concerned about these things is normal, but how you deal with them is has the potential for big impact, both positive and negative, depending.
Declan, would you care to comment on any of those issues? One of the things that you mentioned earlier was you talked about the grandchildren. How does transitioning for a partner or for the trans person affect the relationship with, you know, members of the extended family?
Well, it's interesting because it's almost like they expect me to automatically take on the role of the masculine grandparent. You know, and I'm like, I'm myself trying to discover what does that mean to me? You know, so like the names have changed to Nanpa and Nana. It used to be Nana 1 and Nana 2. But there's interesting things like they come to me and talk about masculine things. Very quickly it happened with them. And they go to her for what you'd consider feminine issues. And it just surprised me how quick they could make that shift. Like, I like it, but at the same time, I'm trying to figure out what that means to me. To be masculine and who am I as my male self?
And is it a loss for you?
Is it a loss?
Like being right. Nana?
I thought when they first started calling me Nampa, one of the things I have thought was the most important in my whole life was my relationship with my grandmother, my Nana. So when I gave them a Nana, when I said, I'm your Nana, you know, that was a big deal. And I want to be the best. And I want to be the Nana that my Nana was. And when I came out, I thought, did I just take that away from them? Did I take away my kid's mom? Did I take away my grandkid's Nana? You know, and luckily I have this wonderful person next to me who has more than stepped in and taken on that role. She's the Nana that they need. I'm the Nanpa that they need. I still have those nurturing, those aspects of who I am, but there's more of me. And that's going to come out and you're going to benefit from that because I have that to offer the world. And they're jumping right into it. You know, the kids aren't as quick, but the grandkids are like, all right, let's talk about baseball. Let's talk about, you know, let's talk about girls. And my grandson is like, let's talk about girls. And he's comfortable with me, which he probably wouldn't have been if I was still Nana.
You know, and the interesting thing about that is that there is so much toxic masculinity in our culture that people of every age are surrounded with. And I think trans people have the opportunity, because they've had to really evaluate what gender means to them. And they have the opportunity, I mean, every human has the opportunity to evaluate how they want to represent themselves, including the way they want to manifest gender, right? But we tend to fall into the roles that we've seen or, you know, what the cultural expectations are if you're cis. And if you're trans, you kind of have to figure out, okay, I'm, and you go through that sort of adolescence and teen years of figuring out what it means to be what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. And I think trans people have this unique opportunity to help society overcome, you know, the problematic parts of gender that we as a society just sort of accept. And so I think, you know, Declan presents this alternative to the toxic masculinity that our kids and our grandkids have been exposed to just by default, which is an extremely cool thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, so Suzanne, your book is also a devotional. So can you talk a little bit about what role you feel religion plays in supporting partners of transgender people?
Yeah, so this book is structured like a devotional in that it's short topics, kind of meant to be consumed once per day, but it's not, it doesn't have a religion focus. The Transfigured devotional does. And, you know, I wanted to make this more accessible by people who, there's bits of, there are some faith issues mentioned in it because faith has such a significant role in people's lives if you are a person of faith. But, you know, there's plenty of people who are not, and there's also plenty of people who are in religions other than Christianity, and I wanted it to be accessible for them. I think that when you are a Christian, and I don't know that much about Judaism or Islam or, you know, other traditions, there are particular challenges because there are so many biases that a lot of Christian communities inflict, that they pull, you know, we as all Christians kind of pull out from the Bible the bits that affirm our biases and beliefs, and we ignore the stuff that doesn't, and we push away the stuff that we think no longer applies to Christians, right? There's like tons and tons and tons of rules and regulations and violence and all the things that we say, oh, okay, well, that doesn't apply anymore. But this subset does apply. And each Christian does, we all do it. We all have our set of things that we, you know, pull from the Bible that we say still apply and things that don't still apply. And so, yeah, I think that I'm not sure I've woven a lot of words here around I'm not sure if I answered your question, but I think that that God, you know, one of the biggest thing early things that hit me was male and female, God created them in God's image. They created them, and you know, that God's image is not, God is not a he. God, you know, Jesus was a he. The Spirit is often described as a she. God is the Father, but the Creator is, you know, God is not a necessarily gendered. He's, God is both, and God
gender
is
fluid.
All, you know.
You know, it's interesting because the underlying theme in all the books, even though this one doesn't have, I'm not sure if there's any Bible verses in this one. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. The other ones have them peppered through. But the underlying theme in all of the books is love. And what is God but love, and what is Christianity but love? You know, one of the things that really touched me when we first started trying to figure out our faith with who we were blossoming into being, that we were queer and then I'm transgender, was that when I read the greatest commandments and realized that they were three. Mm-hmm. They weren't two. It was, you know, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. So the other one is yourself. How, if you can't love yourself, how do you love God or anybody else? And I think in Suzanne's books, the underlying theme is to go out and to love somebody and to be loved.
That God
accept
is love.
That love, and God is love.
And we are made in God's image, and we are love, and, you know, and that God loves each of us, and that we are so uniquely beautiful, just the way we were created, and all of our, you know, binariness, our transness, our cisness, whatever it is, and it doesn't matter. The, you know, we think about the LGBTQ symbol as the rainbow, but a rainbow, and so in the flags, we see these strict demarcations of, you know, there's the yellow stripe, there's the blue stripe, there's the whatever stripe. But in a real rainbow, there is this subtle shifting. You can't really see where one color becomes the next because it's much more minute and varied and beautiful and subtle. And that's how I view, you know, gender, that's how gender really is. And that's how people really are these beautiful refractions of the light of God as demonstrated in all of creation, which is incredibly diverse and beautiful, and humanity is as well. So yeah, so that's kind of how I see.
So Declan, I wanted to make sure that we got to the Facebook group this during this interview. Can you tell me a little bit about the Facebook group? What's it called, and where can people find it?
it's where True Love Is. There's a page, and off of that page are many support groups that come off of that page. We call it the Where True Love Is movement, because Suzanne's first book was Where True Love Is. And it, there's like 85,000
people. Can you spell that? Is that like the number two, or is that T-O-O? How does that?
Where True Love Is.
Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Where True Love Is.
Okay. And it began just with, you know, LGBTQIA Christians, but it's moved into just being love in the community, in the world, and trying to get people to know that it's okay where they are, and it's okay where they're going to be. Blossom into the more of who you are. Find your tribe and be loved. And a lot of people come to the page and they talk back and forth. I just put some material out there. I put some of the stuff from Suzanne's books, and I share good quotes, and I start conversations, and they love on each other. And that page is just growing by itself, because people want to be loved. They want to feel loved. They want to be accepted where they are, and they want to be accepted for who they're going to become. And they want help blossoming into that. So we have that on Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. The website is wheretrueloveis.com. So it's all over the place. We are hitting and reaching over 1 million people a week. So somebody, you know, that one person is getting that message, and that's what we feel good about.
And are you, Declan, are you kind of like the social media web person? Is that your
yeah,
your
she writes the words, and I shine the light on them. Mm-hmm. And it all really started with Rumple Pimple. When we first got married and we got together, we have a wire fox terrier who you've seen running around behind us and yes, making some cute noise. Mm-hmm. They are adorable. But there were no books out when we got together that just had two moms. They were saying, I am Heather's mom, and this is why. And they were explaining it. And this, in this book, they're just there. They have a crazy little dog that does silly things. And that's the very first book that she wrote. And we got letters from all over the world saying, you saved my relationship with my kids because I read them this book. And they see that there's other couples out there like us, you know, and they're like, and they love Rumple Pimple. So he's all over the world. He's got more reviews than any of our books if you combined them all together, because people love the fact that this is a silly dog loved by this diverse couple. You know, mm-hmm. They want to see it. They want to see themselves in books. And we've moved past the time of explaining it. We need to just be there. You know, that's like, you just got to be seen. And that's part of the, I think that's been the hard part. But I've seen it grow over the years that we've been doing this work. We started talking in churches and colleges. You know, we've spoken all over the place, online and in person. And there are so many people talking about it now. The gay Christian community is out there. They're being seen. You know, mm-hmm. So we're not pushing a lot of work towards that. They're there, but we're trying to embrace other people and other religions, because there are people doing that work right now, and they're doing it really well. So, mm-hmm. And we still do it, but that's not our emphasis, is to reach out even further than that. So we, instead of calling it Where True Love Is, we called it Where True Love Is movement, because we want to move that love into the world in every aspect we can, families and everything, grandchildren.
So that's Where True Love Is, and you can find that on Facebook, on Pinterest, on
Instagram. TikTok, everywhere. Yeah. Twitter.
Oh, neat. I'm kind of curious, because I really love TikTok. What are your TikTok videos like? Are they with the dog? Are they
so
the dog?
Far? It's primarily dog
it's
videos.
Dogs. Yeah, right.
Because
yeah.
Jacqueline is obsessed.
I'm obsessed with Rumple Pimple. Rumple Pimple has being. You can a dog can say anything. I started with a Twitter page, Rumple Pimple, and as a dog, people let me say anything. Mm-hmm. So I can say that, you know, Rumple Pimple has a transgender dad and a queer mom and loves them, and that's okay. But if I said that as me, I'm going to be attacked. But as this beautiful little terrier with a mm-hmm. little, you know, talk bubble above his head. That works really well. So he's been the platform because we love this dog. We love each other, and we need the stories to be out there to people to see that there's families like them. Mm-hmm. So Rumple Pimple is mostly TikTok because we've just started dabbling in that recently.
Yeah.
And his videos are hilarious, but it's mostly him.
I think I'm going to start playing with TikTok more because I am launching, I've got a novel coming out, in October with Woodhull Press in October of this year, now that we're in 2022. And the central premise of the book is that the wife of a trans woman of color, the trans woman of color is murdered, and the wife goes on this journey of revenge, and she kind of, she's just so heartbroken, and she goes on this trail of revenge. And so I'm going to start playing with TikTok a little as this we get closer to launch, because I've never launched a novel before, and it's a whole different it's a whole different thing. So I'm going to start playing with TikTok related to that a bit more, I think. And we want to with Where True Love Is too, because we haven't, TikTok is its own thing and it's magic.
Instagram's been fun because it's a little picture and you go, you're really quick. But I think that the novel and this book, something that's happening is people are looking at it. What I'm seeing from reviews and groups where they're starting to talk about her book and the upcoming novel is that a transgender person is not just a person alone somewhere that was mistreated or horrifically killed. This is a person that's life affects many, many people. And there's a ripple effect from that person. And when you start seeing a transgender person as a family member, as a grandparent,
as someone deeply loved,
maybe you'll start respecting and caring more. I think that people can now take the transgender people, not the people that are in our community, but people who aren't, and they just put them out somewhere away from that. Well, your book and your novel puts the rest of the people into the picture. And that's really important when you start seeing that this person is a member of society that is, has a lot more about them than just being transgender. Mm-hmm. They were a beloved grandparent. They were a beloved child. They were a beloved coworker.
The beloved spouse.
When that happens, then the more that happens, and I think a lot of people have started that happening over the last 5 years, we will see more acceptance, I think. I pray. I hope so.
Oh, great. So, Suzanne, I'd like to go back a little bit then and talk about your first book. What the book that you've based everything on, is that Where True Love Is? Was that one of your books?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So there is a hymn, and the lyrics say something about God is love and where true love is. It says God himself is there, but I've changed it to God themself is there. And that's where the title of the first book came from, is that, God is the central premise, is that God is love. And so Where True Love Is, a pastor friend of ours called it a systematic theology. It's a devotional, so it's in these small little snippets. But basically, there were a lot of books out already that talked about the clobber passages, that the ones that some conservative Christians always pull out and say, well, what about blah 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 biblical address here? But God proves that God's hates blah blah blah. So this devotional wasn't about that. The idea was to look at it, central questions like, who is God and what are the scriptures and what did Jesus say about law and what did Jesus say about sin, and these central questions before you get to the issues of sexual orientation and gender identity, and then what to do about that. So it basically explores all of those things and leads up to those questions, to get a better picture of evaluating how we as Christians should be approaching sexuality and gender, rather than just picking a few verses out of the Bible and trying to say this is what God thinks, because that pretty much makes no sense. It's like, I've heard it kind of compared to, you take Gone with the Wind and you pull out three sentences of, you know, where Scarlett O'Hara has pulled down the curtains and made a dress and say that this is, you know, the seamstress's guide to ball gowns. You know, this is kind of how a lot of Christians try to use the Bible about a lot of different issues. And so my whole point with this book is to say, let's start by thinking about who do we really think God is, and what do we really think the Bible is, and kind of approach it more holistically.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, I think, great. It's important for us, regardless of what the issues are, no matter what the social issue is, if we want to have a God-centered, love-centered view, we need to back it up a bit and look at those things.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you. Here in Portland, where where I am, you know, we do. I helped to organize the transgender vigil, the interfaith vigil. So we have a pretty small event, but we have like a mix of people. We have this year we had Catholic, Buddhist, pagan, Jewish, Methodist, Quaker,
wow,
Unitarian. Mm-hmm. But what our little group does is kind of out of the norm in Portland, because in Portland, the queer community by far is mostly not religious.
Yeah.
Which is totally legit. I mean, I'm right. A Jewish atheist. So,
oh, cool.
I mean, I'm Jewish, but I'm an atheist. So, but I know that for a lot of queer people, religion really means something. What is the value of religion to someone who's queer or trans? That's a question for both of you.
Man, that's a really, really good question. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we've been deconstructing our faith for a few years now, and my last actual devotional was called Sleep or Awake, and it was about deconstruction, because particularly as a queer person, if you're formed in a faith tradition, and you have all this conflict with what you've been told about what God wants, but you know who you are, and you know that you're a good person, and you know that you love this concept, whether it's, you know, Christian God or any other thing, you know that you are drawn to this divine power, divine love, you have to kind of make sense of it. So I think for a lot of Christians, at least queer Christians, there's this deconstruction you have to go through to figure out, what does it mean, and can I still even believe anything? I think that there is something powerful in believing that there is more, that there's a grander picture, and not even necessarily understanding what that grander picture is, but feeling like there has to be more, especially in the face of these past few years, which have been so dark. I think it can be a real struggle to just not give in to despair without hoping that there is some beautiful thing driving the universe that is bigger and better than we humans can manifest it. I mean, so I think that for me, that is sort of the core benefit, if you can get beyond all the BS that so many religious structures present and create barriers to that picture. What do you think,
Jeff? Well, churches have definitely taken God and put God in a box and almost completely destroyed faith for many LGBTQI people, especially transgender people. The groups I'm in, they don't want to hear anything about God.
Understandably,
and it's not because of God, it's because of the churches and the rules and the people made up. I think that, like you said, I think you have to go through deconstruction, because God is not this small thing. God is very, very big and not understandable. And God is the good and the love that we see in people. I think that the three of us did church here today better than people did it in a building anywhere, you know, because I listened to you and I met you and I see you. I see your personhood. You see me. We see God. We have to see God in each person. I think that's the big picture of it. And I think God is the good we see in people, the love, the grandness, the blossoming, the growing, the ever changing and evolving. And that's where I see my faith now is in the people where I see God, not in the buildings.
In the love.
You know, we've been kicked out of a lot of buildings.
We
talked a lot for the UMC and went to the conference and saw the destruction there and how they were hurting LGBTQ people. And they're gonna divide. There's no hope in them staying together because they just can't agree on the issue of same-sex marriage. We've left churches. Churches have kicked out pastors that we love. So we've seen it, and it's not a pretty picture. Nope. So you've got to get together with a whole bunch of people and just be yourself and love each other. And that's more church. And that's more God, I think, than we're seeing in a lot of buildings. So I'm hoping with this deconstruction that's starting to happen, and like these interfaith things that you're going to and people are holding, that there'll be this grandness, repicturing of what that divine love is
and what
about.
Sacredness means and what holiness means. And
we also had a Methodist. I forgot. We did have Methodist. We had the what is it, like the reconciling version of the Methodist. And we also had I forgot to mention Wicca. We had a Wiccan person who was nice. Great.
That must have been so cool.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of curious. So we've only got like maybe 3 or 4 minutes left, so we can't really get into it too much. But I really appreciate your answers on religion. If we had more time, I would ask you, what about, like, how do you deal with the patriarchal element of Christianity specifically? Like, there's a way in which Christianity can be experiences patriarchal, not just Christianity, Judaism too. And well, I'm not going to speak for Islam because I don't know, but I definitely know Christianity. I mean, because I'm around. I mean, they come from the same root, so I kind of understand the traditions, that they're both very patriarchal. At least they can be read as patriarchal, even though they're not necessarily in their actual tradition if you really analyze them and look at them. But maybe in like a minute or two, how do you deal with the patriarchal element of Christianity as a queer person or a trans person?
We met in a socially conservative Christian denomination, and it was all an all-male governance structure. It had priests and an all-male rector's council all the way up to a literal patriarch. And I bought into it hook, line, and sinker. So, you know, it's the continual pushing away. I mean, I think we're pretty fully pushed away from that. And it's amazing how you can kind of be, I think people are brainwashed into thinking that is the godly structure, you know, the thing that God had in mind, and that people are unwittingly brainwashed. And it's only in this slow process of deconstruction and in waking up to all kinds of issues of social justice and, you know, queer theology and all the different permutations of things that are happening now, that you can begin to take a sort of a small hammer and chip away at that understanding. And it's a slow process.
Yeah, I think it has. It's changing. It's getting better. I think one of the best things that I've seen happen is the focus cannot be on the person in the pulpit. Mm-hmm. That's been the focus, and they've been the ones that have led the charge on what you can and can't do. They're not the focused. They're mm-hmm. they're just in that pulpit. The focus has mm-hmm. got to be outward, outside the building, into the people.
Thank you. That's a great note to end our interview on tonight. We've been talking with Suzanne DeWitt Hall and Declan DeWitt Hall. Suzanne or Declan, can you remind us again of both your book that's just coming out right now, and also your website?
Sure. So the book that just came out is called Reaching for Hope, Strategies and Support for the Partners of Transgender People. And you can find it on wheretolove.com and check out the Where True Love Is Facebook page. It's a great community of affirmation and support. What am I forgetting?
We'll never forget Rumpelpimple.
Rumpelpimple on Facebook and Twitter also for some laughs.
They all kind of lead into each other. Where truelovis.com is the best place to go.
Great. Thank you. Well, it's really been a pleasure talking to you tonight, and hope to have you back again sometime.
That would be fantastic.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO radio station is located in Portland, Oregon, in Multnomah County. We honor the indigenous people whose traditional and ancestral homelands we stand on, the Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Tumwater, Watlala, bands of the Chinook, the Tualatin, Kalapuya, and many other indigenous nations of the Willamette and Columbia River regions. It is important to acknowledge the ancestors of this land and to recognize that we are here because of the sacrifices forced upon them. In remembering these communities, we honor their legacy, their lives, and their descendants with the forming of relationship to each other and the living world. We establish